Hey everybody, thanks for joining us again on another episode. Today we're going to have As the Raven Dreams at the end of the video here. He's going to be doing a couple stories, so hope you guys really enjoy his narration style. I'm a big fan of his. He's about to hit 10,000 subscribers, but I'll let you guys get into the video now. And yeah, that's about it. Alright, more at the end of the video as well, so stick around. And alright, bye. A few years back when I was 17 years old, I went to a party. Everything was alright, until the host started getting really intense and creepy. By that point it was around 3 AM, and I was pretty drunk. I decided to call an Uber in order to avoid any advances from the insistent guy. The Uber shows up, and I try to sober up while not get in. The driver starts making small talk with me. In the state I was failing to see all the red flags. He starts to ask me about the party I was at, and I told him about the creep. And then he told me it was because I was short and cute. He then asked for my age, and sensing a weird vibe from him, I told him I was a minor, thinking that would deter any further advances, but it turned out that was a horrible idea. He was driving pretty recklessly on the highway, and I snapped out of my drunken sober real fast. He then asked me to get drinks with him that same night, and told me that he really liked me. I quickly told him I'd get grounded if I stayed out any later, and that my mother was awake and waiting for me at home. Keep in mind, I lived in Mexico, and the amount of people, and especially women, that get murdered daily is ridiculously high. When we got to the home address, I noticed the doors were locked, and he kept on insisting on going to get drinks, even though it was now well over 4 AM. I tried to act as nice as possible when I told him I couldn't that night. He then asked for my phone number, and told me we can go the next day. Not being the first time that some creep has asked me for my number, I gave him my number but changed the last digit, so he couldn't actually contact me. But then he actually dialed the phone as I was getting out of the car. Of course my phone didn't ring and he started to get agitated, and said I gave him the wrong number. I played drunk and stupid and recited my number again, but actually said it correctly in order for him to think that he heard the last number wrong. He chuckled and said it was his bad, and told me we'd see each other the next day. I made my way into my house and immediately woke up my mom because I was so terrified. She managed to actually calm me down and told me to go to sleep. So I went into my bedroom and started to put on my pajamas, and when I heard my phone ringing, the Uber driver was trying to video call me. I lost my shit. Once I saw that it was on my screen, I immediately denied the call and noticed he had sent me about 15 messages asking what time he could pick me up and why I wasn't replying. Of course I blocked him right away and thought that would be the end of it. The next day I got a text from an unknown number, and checked the picture and saw it was the driver. He asked me why I had blocked him and started spamming me. I immediately blocked him, and over the next course of the month or so, I get messages from random phone numbers, and it quickly became obvious that it was the driver. I'd always block him, but eventually I would have to report him to the Uber app and change my phone number. Only problem is, he knows where I live. I went to the police station a few days ago to put down a complaint about some person who had scammed me when I was trying to get a graphics card. The guy who seemed nice overheard the conversation and proposed me to come over as he had spare electronic equipment that he did not use anymore, saying that if he could help anyone else, he'd be glad to give it out. Now, I didn't really put any hope into it, as it was unlikely that I'd find something interesting, but I took up the offer. He didn't have the fishy person aura, so I accepted coming over in a few days. I wouldn't show up alone though, just in case. A few days after, I go to the house with my brother. First, the guy is not wearing a mask, and he tries to shake my hand. There's this old person in the background watching us, beer in hand. I can see from here that the yard is a complete mess, things everywhere. He guides us inside and we took a look around, and then he starts pulling stuff out of a bag. It's like 15 to 20 years old graphics cards that are completely worthless. So I told him that it ain't gonna work. It's too old. He tells us to follow him to the garage, which is even more of a mess than the yard. Things laying around everywhere, and there's a very dirty pool. Not even covered, although it was still in winter. He shows us one of the first generations of graphics cards, old and bulky. I tell him it ain't gonna work either. And he takes us to a shed behind the house with even more things. It's a shady place in a weird alley, and I freaked out a little bit because the older person who hadn't said a single word was following us. He rumbles through the shed and telling me the card he intended to give me was somewhere, but he doesn't find it. Too bad. I prepared to go away, but then he asks if I could look at the PC that he doesn't boot. I accept and I go inside the room, which is apparently the kid's room and it's messy as every other room. I approach the computer and it's missing keys, it's kind of dirty everywhere. I sit down with my brother and start fiddling with the computer. The grandpa appears out of nowhere and sits beside my brother, which kind of freaks me out by the way he was looking at us. I'm trying to fix the PC and the mother comes in and tells me she doesn't know much about computers, but she does go to the dark web. She asks me if I can check every single device in the house, make sure that they haven't been pirated, and she's being spied on. At that point, I look at my brother, confused, and we kind of mentally communicate. Yeah, we need to get out. It's starting to get weird. I tell the guy that I can't seem to fix it, and that it's above what I know. He's okay with it. The old man lights up a cigarette in the room as we get out of here. The guy keeps talking to us for about like 5 minutes. They seem like they wanted us to stay. We then tell them that the bus we have to catch is getting there, so we have to walk quickly to get out of here. The mother stops us and asks if we're going to come back to inspect their devices or pirate it or not. I just say that we'll contact them again. Panicked, I blocked the number and we got out of there. I'm a 21-year-old female, and this story took place when I was around 11. I remember this date clearly because it was the first time I was ever allowed to walk to school and back by myself. Up until the age of 14, I lived in what we thought was a safe place, in Chattanooga County, New York. Everyone knew everyone. If you thought you would get away with something, then you'd be prepared to have your ear abused by the time you get home. There was this one day though. It was a cold winter day and school unfortunately was still open, so all the neighborhood kids had to walk through knee-high inches of snow just to get to school. It took me longer to leave the house as I was used to walking with my older sister to school since she knew the routes better than me. I always used to make fun of her for being paranoid and taking a different route every day from school, but after that day, I learned that that was what saved my life. As I was waiting by the door to leave, my mom came up to me and told me that I should ride with her and drop me off because my sister was too sick today. Being a brat, I made a big deal about walking by myself because I was almost 12 years old and all my friends' parents let them walk alone. She looked at me for a long while, then told me to make sure I pay attention to cars. I got hit by a car and almost died when I was 9, so the worry that showed on her face was well warranted. Hurriedly nodded and headed out the door to go to school. My sister didn't like to dilly-dally, so she was always in a rush to get to school early. But seeing as it was just me, I thought it'd be a good idea to take my time. I would play in the brown slush that was left on the side of the road, and even make funny-looking snowballs to see how far I could throw them. Halfway to school, I noticed a white van falling behind me. Being the playful child I was, if I had not been bending down to make another snowball, I wouldn't have noticed it slowly creeping up the street. I told myself I was being stupid, but I continued more hurriedly to school. Once I got to school, I took a quick glance over my shoulder and saw the van a few feet behind me. It wasn't until I was at school grounds that it drove away fast by me. I thought that would be the end of it, but throughout the day, I would stare out the window and the van would be there. I assumed that it never really left, just parked. Many adults would try to convince me years later that it wasn't the same one, but I knew it was. This van had a bright yellow smile emoji sticker on it. I couldn't see who was in the van, though, because it had tinted glass. I knew they could see me. It was now the end of the day, and I wasn't ready to go home. I was too late to call my mom because she was at work and my sister was home sick. I had to suck it up and start walking home. I tried to blend in with a group of kids, but most of them were car riders, and the others didn't even live near me. I remember what my sister told me. I took another route home, and I didn't actually memorize the route clearly, but I decided anything was better than being spotted by the van. I made it to the main street, but realized my mistake too late. The route I took led back to the main street where I walked to school. Hidden behind a row of cars was the white van with a smile emoji sticker. I tried to stay calm and walk past it, but once I heard the van door silently click open, I ran. I could hear the rush of two pairs of heavy foots fall behind me. They were getting closer, so I did what any normal kid would do. I cut corners. I cut into someone's backyard until I was directly inside of my house. I forced myself into the thick snow to make it to the door. My heart was racing, not because I was running, but because I could still hear them behind me. I made it to the door and banged with all my might until someone came to the door. My sister looked confused, but one look at my face and she pulled me inside and locked the doors. The van was still outside. Truthfully, it stayed out there until my brother got home. Me and my sister don't talk about it, but we both know how close it was to me going missing. I hadn't thought about this incident in years, but one of my hometown friends showed me this article that came out in 2013. Apparently some men kidnapped and essayed a girl my age. It would have scared me if it had mentioned the white van. Whoever you are that attempted to kidnap me, and do God knows what else, let's not meet again. Sorry in advance for the long post, I need to get this off my chest. My fiance, 27 male, and I, 23 female, are soon to be married and are remodeling an old family home. We start working on the house about 2 to 3 months ago. My fiance bought a bunch of tools to use in the house to renovate. The house has been sitting with nobody in it for over a year. Keep in mind the house is located in a fairly rural area. A few houses and trailers here and there, but not too much traffic. We have a rodent problem and have been setting traps to catch them. 3 weeks ago, my fiance went to check the traps and we had a rat that was still alive. Long story short, he didn't want to take care of it, so he left. I go off to work at 9 p.m. and went over to the house to take care of the rat. It was raining and my mom and brother came with me. I went to the back door and it was wide open, and water was blowing into the house. I was pretty pissed. I thought my fiance had left the door open. I shut it and finished the business there. I asked my fiance why he left the door open, and he claimed he didn't. I called bullshit and left it at that. It didn't occur to me that somebody had possibly made a quick getaway. Fast forward to today. My fiance and I went to the house to throw a whole bunch of trash and stuff into the dumpster we rented. When we went inside, we immediately noticed that some of the things were missing. Drills, sanders, etc. We realized that they must have been stolen. We called my mother-in-law to tell her about it, and she says to make a police report. What scares me so much about this is that everything began to click with the rat trap incident. Somebody had been scoping us out. I would go to the house by myself on many occasions, and always had the creeps and I just felt like I was being watched. My little brother even remarked that he felt like he was being watched, and asked if they were sure that there was nobody else in there while we were gone. I noticed a day when I was there alone that my dog was acting very nervous and suspicious. She wasn't running and playing like she usually does, and didn't want me to go to the backyard or the wooded area. I'm glad I trusted her in my gut feeling. I don't know if it was thieves were there or what, but I'm glad I didn't find out. We're currently in the process of installing cameras. This had to have been somebody that lives near us, and we can monitor how often we're there. So to the person who broke into my unfinished home, let's not meet.
I used to work for a company that did a lot of survey work out in the woods and national forest areas. Basically, we were paid to walk the trails, take pictures of everything around, and report anything we find back to the park services. It may seem like a really weird and pointless job, but it's more about trying to determine if we have people coming out and using the land for things they shouldn't, camping in parts of the forest that are considered off-limits, and also to survey the wildlife. Sometimes we get migratory animals that make nests in part of the trails that are fully open to the public, and if that happens, we have to shut that part of the trail off, as it is a felony to disturb them. It's one of those positions that most people really don't even know exists, and it's probably one of the most important ones for the park services in my area. Now, doing this job was mostly uneventful. It was a pretty by-the-book kind of position, where I just had to determine what information was relevant, irrelevant, and write out the reports with the photographs. That may upset some people. A lot of people out there seem to believe that being out in the national parks all day every day must be super exciting and eventful. It's not. Go walk around in the woods for a full day, and then multiply what you see by 5, and that's pretty much a normal week for us. And that said, we did see some weird stuff sometimes. A lot of the time, we would just see homeless people trying to set up small gatherings in places they weren't allowed to, or drug addicts getting lost on the trails after a bad trip. Sometimes we would find things that were a bit odd, but again, it was mostly tame. I actually have 2 specific stories that I wanted to share that were both pretty creepy. The first one happened during one of my first outings. I was still working as a trainee, and I was required to go out with one of the more seasoned employees for the entire thing. They pretty much teamed you up with someone that was a senior for the first year, and then after that you were expected to do the work on your own. On my first survey, I was with an older gentleman named Dan. Dan had been doing this job for somewhere close to 12 or so years. Having done this for so long, there wasn't much that Dan wasn't accustomed to. He'd pretty much seen it all and knew exactly what to do in all situations. On the first outing, we had to camp out for a majority of the trip, as there weren't any nearby ranger stations for what we were doing, which was fine by me, as I've always loved camping and hiking, hence why I took the position that I did. Anyways, we were set up on our second or third night. The tents were ready to go and we were finishing up dinner. At around the time the sun had fully set, and it was pitch black, and we were about ready to call it a night. Then, I started hearing what sounded like something rustling around a bit to our south. It was like something or someone was walking a bit beyond the tree line, and I couldn't see them. This really isn't abnormal at all. When you're out in the woods, you encounter tons of wildlife, like deers, foxes, and typically you can just ignore it and continue on with your evening. I just assumed it was something like that, but when I looked over at Dan, I noticed he had his service weapon in his hand, and was staring out into the trees. I asked him what was wrong, and no later than the last word exiting my mouth did we hear what sounded like a child screaming at the top of their lungs. When I say screaming, I mean like they were yelling in absolute agony, and it 100% sounded childlike, high-pitched, whiny, and followed with what almost sounded like a sobbing. I stood up, confused, and started looking over to where it had come from. Dan grabbed my arm and pulled me back down as he watched the darkness. I asked him what the hell that was, and he just looked at me and said, "I have no earthly idea, but we're going to treat it like it was just a coyote and not pay it any more attention than we have." I was beyond confused, but the stern look that he was giving me was enough to tell me that I needed to follow his lead. I nodded, and we both turned in for the night. I will say that nothing else did happen. It never got any closer or made any other sounds, and there was nothing around us in the morning, but I laid there the entire night with my firearm near my hand and ready, just in case. The second story happened closer to the end of my tenure with the company, and was probably the weirdest thing that any of us have ever found on one of our surveys. It started pretty normal. I was on the trip by myself, as I wasn't training anyone, and I was about done with the whole thing when, on one of my trips, I saw what looked like a small hole in the ground off the trails. When I say off the trails, I mean practically in the middle of nowhere in this forest. There weren't a lot of people that came out this way, honestly. We'd never had any issues with the surveys out here. I walked over to the spot where it looked like it had either been dug out or sunken in, and I noticed that something was covered in the leaves that had collected there. I moved them all out of the way, and was surprised to see what seriously looked like a manhole cover. It was round and metal, and was pretty damn heavy. I was able to lift it up and kind of roll it over to the side when I realized why it looked like the spot had sunken in. Because it had. I was looking down a concrete tunnel into what kind of looked like a bunker that had somewhat collapsed inside. This area wasn't owned by anyone, and there was no one that should have been living here, and this bunker wasn't marked on any of the maps or the documentation. I grabbed my radio when I called it into the station. They told me to stay there and informed me that they would call the authorities to check it out. They did, and I was pretty spot on with my guess. It was a bunker. It was a nuclear fallout shelter, to be exact. One that apparently no one ever knew existed. It was built sometime in the Cold War, most likely. Because of what it was, and the fact that no one knew what could be in the bunker, the officials had determined that they actually had to dig it up, which I completely understand. There was no way of knowing if this was a stash house for illegal goods, or anything potentially dangerous. They dug it up with an actual excavator, and they found some interesting things. First and foremost, they found the person that was living there. He was long dead, mostly just a skeleton at the point that we found him, which told me that he had probably passed away years ago and no one ever knew that he was there. It was pretty weird. They couldn't find anything that identified who he was, why he was there, or honestly how he had managed to build and hide in this bunker for so long. There wasn't anything illegal in the bunker, just a lot of canned foods and books, as well as a few photos of seemingly random landscapes. It's the weirdest thing that this guy had managed to build this bunker that long ago and fly under the radar. My thoughts are that he built it and then just never left. But this begs the question of why. Why did he decide to go underground like that? To the best of my knowledge, they never identified who he was at all, and he's basically marked as a John Doe. This was several years ago at this point, so he probably fell into the cold case files, as there wasn't any evidence of foul play, and he likely just died of natural causes. It's just that no one found him or knew he was there until the bunker had collapsed. In the end, he went off the grid, and even after death, that's where he remained. Me and a friend of mine used to get together at least once a month and go hiking in one of the forests near us. We even made a few trips into the local national park because we wanted to get through all of the trails. The one by us has a few different paths in it that can take some time to get through, so we dedicated each trip to one path. However, that's also because we tend to divert off the trails so we can get away from the groups of people and tourists and actually look around and enjoy the view. This event occurred one of the times we were going through that very park. We gathered our normal bag of gear that we took with us, water, a couple of snacks, a few emergency items like a small knife, first aid kit, things like that. And we met up at the park. I typically left my cell phone in my car because once we got deep into the trees, it was kind of worthless anyways. My friend Troy, though, always kept his on him, even though he always had the same result. So we got there and started heading to the last path that we hadn't tried before. This one was a bit more of an incline, so we found ourselves taking a few extra breaks on our way through. It was also towards the beginning of summer and was super humid that day, so I know that was probably part of it. We stopped and waited for people to pass and looked around to try and find a good place to divert from the path. We finally found one, as we estimated where the lake would run, and decided we wanted to head towards that. We walked over by some trees, past a pile of dead branches and other debris, and were now no longer in view of said path. The trees provided some shade too, which did make it a little easier on us as well. I don't feel like it was long after this point that we ended up running into this guy. We were laughing and joking about something, and we were pretty loud about it, when I saw this guy just standing in front of the tree. I nudged my friend to get their attention, and they stopped and they looked at them with me. This guy didn't even look back at us, and the way he was dressed was even more bizarre to me. He had one of those thick, puffy jackets on, with some really dirty and ripped jeans. He also had some long hair that looked like it hadn't been brushed in a while, as you could see the huge knot in the back of it. I didn't know what to do, so I just apologized for disrupting him, and when he still said nothing or looked over, I motioned for my friend to walk around him so we could keep going. As we did, I looked back to see his face, and I noticed that it looked just as dirty. But it was more the look on his face that confused me even more. He looked very cross, like he was trying to remember something or was extremely angry about something. Curious to know if he was really mad or possibly injured or lost, I asked him if he was okay, and I didn't get a response. As my friend was telling me not to, I decided to approach him to, I guess, get a better look at him. Still, he didn't take his angry look off of the tree in front of him. When I got closer, I also noticed that the dirt on his face looked flaky, like it was dried blood. So I again asked him if he was okay or if he needed any help, but still nothing. My friend kept saying that we needed to go and that he was freaking him out, but part of me didn't feel right leaving him. So I pulled out my extra bottle of water and a bag of trail mix, and I set it next to the tree. As I started walking back, that's when I heard the guy mumbling something. So I turned back around, thinking he was talking to me. He was just mumbling a bunch of nonsense, though, as I couldn't make out anything he was saying. So I just continued walking back to my friend, when he did finally say something coherent. Not that it made much sense, though. He said, "Tell me. Tell me your secrets." I replied with, "I'm sorry, what?" Him, still staring at the tree. "He has secrets. Tell me your secrets." My friend was about ready to leave my ass at that point, so I just turned back and we made a brisk walk away from him. I looked back a few times and he never moved, so we carried on. After a little bit of time, we finally got through the trees and we didn't quite make it to the lake, but did find a little offshoot stream of some sort. We sat there for a few, splashed water on our faces, and just kind of chilled for a bit. We noticed the orange and pink in the sky and knew that we needed to start heading back, so we started making our way out. As we were walking, I was curious if that guy was still there so I could report it to someone to let them know, because that definitely was not normal, and he probably needed help. I know we took either the same path back, or pretty close to it, based on the trail of flat grass and dirt that we left, so it wasn't hard to trace our way back. And we definitely found the guy, but he was far from okay. As we approached, it looked like he had his hands on the side of the tree, and we could hear grunts or mumbling as we got closer. Again, my friends stayed back while I got closer, and this guy was seriously smashing his head into the same tree repeatedly. There was blood all over his face, his hands, his chest. You could see the blood dripping on his shirt and coat, getting caked into his beard, and all over the ground in front of him. On top of this, he was now screaming. "Tell me why. Tell me why. What are you hiding?" Over and over with every smash. While this is happening, my friend is yelling behind me, "What the hell are you doing? Don't touch him. What is wrong with him?" And I'm just trying to figure out what the hell to do. If this guy didn't stop soon, he's going to cause some serious damage or even kill himself. I decided to basically pummel him, but it didn't even faze him. He started crawling back to the tree to keep going. I told my friend to run back to get help because I didn't want to leave him alone, but I wasn't going to be able to stop him and make him come with us. My friend didn't waste any time though, and he took off back towards the trails. I tried a few times pulling him away from the tree, but every time he would make his way back to it. With how many times I repeated this insane process, it seemed like my friend got back at record speed. Thankfully, he was accompanied by a park ranger who was able to subdue the man enough to get some ties on his wrists and get him to sit on the ground. From there, though, he just rocked back and forth sitting on the ground as he screamed and cried. Some police showed up too. We gave them our statement and had to try and convince them that we had nothing to do with him, except for trying to save his life. And then we were finally allowed to leave. We wanted to see what happened with the guy, though, so we sat in my car and waited to see him come out. When they came down to the entrance, the guy was sitting in the back of one of the little trailers the ranger drove around in, and he looked out of it. I don't know what happened to him from that point on, though. The only other update we got was when a detective called me and asked if I had seen anyone else with him. And he mentioned that because they'd found other items indicating that there may have been someone with him at some point. I did tell them that I had left food and water for him, and I even mentioned the brand so they knew, and they said that that wasn't what they meant. They explained that they had found some clothing and a note. They wouldn't give more information than that, so I assumed it's probably important or serious, maybe, but I saw nothing else there. So, yeah, that was the last time that I saw that guy, obviously. And the last time I was ever approached about it, other than when my friend brought it up to remember or tell someone else about it. We did go back to that trail that same month. I think it was about 2 weeks after. We went so we could see if we could find anything else to tell us what had happened. The trail, of course, was different due to some new growth, but once we got around the general area, the tree was pretty easy to spot. The tree had bark missing, and there was a gouge in it. It was at the perfect height for someone to be smashing their head into it. It was eerie seeing it standing right where he was, racking my brain as to what was going on in his head. That was actually the last time we took that path. My friend thought it was too messed up to look at anymore, so we never went back. I know it's entirely possible the guy was just a little messed up and that there was nothing else to it other than he needed help, but that is just a scene that I can never get out of my head.
friends, thanks for checking out today's video, and a huge thank you to As the Raven Dreams. If you guys have some time, check out their channel. They're about to hit 10,000 subscribers, and that is just amazing. I mean, this whole community is just, I love you guys. Everyone in this community is amazing. Okay. Well, anyways, I'm not going to take up too much of your time. You want to watch some more videos, check out my playlist, or go to As the Raven Dreams. He's got a whole shit ton of narrations on his channel. All right, that's about it. You guys take it easy and have a good night. Bye. Baba Ganoush. Adios. All right, bye.